Parshas. Here in Yeshiva University, we aim to provide an integrated religious educational experience, what you might call a synthesis of a sort. So therefore, we're very careful to work out the schedule so that the time of midterms, the time we begin this period where the students and the teachers are being tested, should correspond with the parshiyos of Lech Lecha and Vayera, when we read about the nisyonos of Avram Avinu, in the spirit of Maisa Avosim and Labanim, that just as Avram Avinu is being tested, so too his descendants should also be tested, and we should experience midterms together. as we read about these nisyonos. And of course, just as the much more minor tests of the midterms, we often have the thought, well, why do we have to go through this? So too with the nisyonos of Chaim, with the nisyonos of life in general, that Avram modeled for us how to complete and how to stand up to, so too we often wonder, why is it that we have to go through nisyonos? Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us through these challenges? Why is it that we have to be tested in life? And of course, there's a fundamental difference between the tests that we take in school and the tests that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us through. As the Rambam emphasizes in his Maror Nevuchim, God definitely doesn't need the information. He doesn't need to test us to find out where we're holding. So we're left much more fundamentally to question, why is it that we have to be tested? And this is something that the Rambam takes up in Maror Nevuchim, and this is something that the Netziv poses many theories about. It's quoted in the Otsra Sanetziv. And a number of the theories that we find, on the one hand, a test is a kapara, as we understand. We go through hard times in life, and it brings about an atonement, whether it's an atonement for us or for others. And it's one level of accomplishment that the Nisyonos HaChayim brings upon us. In another sense, a Nisayon, sometimes viewed as a type of compliment, Kadosh Baruch Hu is expressing his confidence in us, perhaps showing others what can happen and what can be accomplished when one is put through a test. In a sense, it's a tremendous compliment. Well, sometimes we feel we'd rather not have the compliment, we could do without it. There are other other elements as well that we find to the concept of Nisayon. As the Bali Musar point out, that a Nisayon gives us the opportunity to grow, gives us the opportunity to reach our potential through challenge, whether we understand that we pass the Nisayon, or even if it seems like we failed the Nisayon, we learn from the experience and we become who we can become, because we get up again. The Pasuk tells us, Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam, that a tzadik falls 7 times and he gets back up again. Rav Huttner has an expression in one of his letters where where he writes that people misunderstand this pasuk. They think it means that a tzaddik, even though he falls 7 times, he's still a tzaddik. And he suggests what it really means is that because he falls 7 times, that's why he's a tzaddik. That the process of tzidkus is a development of learning from mistakes, learning from the challenges of life. And because one is able to go through these experiences, because one falls so many times and then gets back up again, a greater person, a person who is stronger, as the expression tells us, Ein Chacham Kebal HaNisayon, there's nobody as wise as somebody who's experienced, meaning somebody who's been tested, somebody who's been challenged. So that that ability to reach our potential, that's a crucial aspect of what a Nisayon offers us. And that's also something that we recognize and something that we're grateful for. But perhaps on another level, there's a very important idea as well, and that's the fact that a Nisayon gives us the opportunity, in essence, to create ourselves. That the midos that we have, the qualities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts within us, as long as they're dormant, as long as they're simply there, as long as they're simply there, they're there. But that's not something that we own. It's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. It's an inherent talent, it's an inherent quality. You're born a nice guy, okay? But it's only when your niceness is really put to the test and you have reason not to be such a nice guy and you decide anyway that this is the path you're going to take, that this becomes a part of who you are. And it becomes something you've acquired through Kenyan. The Rosh Yeshiva of Keren B'Yavne emphasized in a number of his drashos that this is also the idea, perhaps, in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that is usually translated differently. The Mishnah tells us that who is it who's an Asher, Ezehu Asher, Hasameach Bechelko, somebody who is happy in his Chelek, we'll leave the translation at that. That's the sign of wealth. So we often translate that to mean a person is satisfied with what he has. He's not looking for more. He's not wishing that he had twice as much. He's happy with the portion that he has. So that's a sign of wealth. If you're always looking for more, you can never be rich. And the Rosh Yeshiva felt that really it means something else. And the indication is, if you read the rest of the Mishnah says, how do you know this is true? How do you know that this is the sign of Ashiras? Because of a pasuk which doesn't seem to have any relevance to that idea. The pasuk says, Yagia kapecha kisochal ashrecha v'tov lach. That when you're able to eat from the results of your work, so then you'll be happy and it's good for you. So what does it have to do with being satisfied with what you're given? So the Rosh Yeshiva really means something else. Sameach Bechelko means that you are able to rejoice, you're able to be happy, because the chelek that you have is your chelek. That the portion that you have is one that you earned. And that you could have all the wealth in the world, and you could have all the material possessions in the world, but if you haven't worked for them, if you haven't acquired them yourself, so then they're not really yours. And they don't really bring you inner satisfaction. It may bring you some level of pleasure, but that's not really meaningful. And the only real happiness a person can have is when that which he has, he's earned and he's worked for, which is what the Talmud tells us, that a person would rather have one portion of his own than many portions of someone else's. Recognizes a basic human reality, that real satisfaction comes from earning that which you have. And therefore, that's what the Mishnah tells us, HaSameach Bechelko, one who can find true happiness in his chelek, because as the Pasuk says, Yagia kapecha kisolcha l'ashrecha v'tov lach. So if this is true about material possessions, if this is true about earning the wealth, physical material wealth that you have, so we can only imagine how much more so this is true about spiritual possessions, about qualities, about the actual realities of who you are. That if these qualities are not just inherent, it's not just the way you were born, it's not just gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, but they're qualities that you've actualized by standing up to the test, by having them challenged, and you're making a statement that this is who you want to be, that you're a person who doesn't speak Lashon Hara, not because you never had anything bad to say about anyone, not because you never saw anything you didn't like, but you did see things you didn't like, and you were confronted with things that bothered you, and you still decided not to engage in Lashon Hara. So now that quality of being one who doesn't speak Lashon Hara, that's a quality you own. That's a part of who you are. It's not simply a default position. And that's the true simcha in life, the ability to be able to acquire these qualities and make them meaningfully yours. That's a tremendous bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents us when he confronts us with nisyonos, when he confronts us with challenges in life. And there are a couple of arenas in which this aspect is particularly relevant. And perhaps we can look a little bit at the major Nisayon, the greatest Nisayon of all that we read about next week, the Nisayon of the Akedah, you know, which is held up as the tremendous merit that we all draw from. And this Nisayon, of course, the most challenging of the Nisyonos, but nonetheless, it's still surprising, as the Vilna Gaon noted, that after this Nisayon, Avram is told, okay, now it's clear that he has Yirah Shemayim. Now it's clear that he's an Eved Hashem. So 9 tests are not enough. But now, after the 10th test, now it's clear. And the Vilna Gaon noted that perhaps the idea is that all the other nisyonos maybe were consistent with Avram's basic tendencies, were consistent with his natural personality. But here, this idea to bring his son up for sacrifice, this goes so far against everything that his natural tendency would have told him. If he's able to pass all the 10 nisyonos, including this one, so then it's clear it's not simply the way he is, it's not simply a default, but this is an active reality that he's acquired, and now we see what Avraham Avinu is truly about. And perhaps, if we look a little bit more closely, maybe at what the Vilna Gaon is telling us, and maybe at the story itself, that maybe this speaks, perhaps surprisingly, even to the quality of chesed that Avraham Avinu so prominently represented. That yes, he manifested chesed throughout his entire life. Chesed was the stamp of all of his actions. But perhaps one could assert that maybe that's the way he is. Chesed very often comes easily to people. It's easy to be a nice person. It's often rewarding. It's often instantly rewarding. People appreciate it. And very often it's consistent with the easiest path, the path of least resistance. Here, Avraham Avinu was not being told to ignore his chesed, was not being told to turn off his feelings for his son. Adarabba, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Scherer, the Mashgiach of Slobodka, noted that we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he tells the instruction of the Akedah, so he goes out of his way to say, Kachna as bincha as yechidcha, all of these words of affection. Says Rav Scherer, that's all part of the Nisoyon. That Avraham Avinu was not allowed to take the attitude that I'm going to forget about Yitzchak, I'm not going to care about him, I'm going to turn off all my rachmanis. But Adarabba, he had to take all of that love and all of that rachmanis and all of this realization that this is his son, his only son who he loves, and all of that was a condition of the Akedah. Take all of that love and still go through a process that's so difficult to endure. And not the simple expression of love which is instantly rewarding and which is natural, but an expression of love saying, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do with this son, which is so challenging. If one can go through all of that and still come out successful, now we know that the chesed is a chesed that Avram has acquired, that's a part of him, that's natural, and that's something that he can transmit to his descendants. And it's very real when we encounter chesed. So sometimes there's chesed that's easy and there's chesed that's not so easy. And Avram is teaching us that it's not only the chesed that's easy, it's not only the chesed that's instantly rewarding, but it's the chesed that's not so easy, where we define ourselves as personalities of chesed, as people who truly represent this nisayon of Avraham Avinu, and that's something we incorporate into our personalities. The Maharal has a comment that we see this concern of Avraham Avinu, in general, this concern for Kenyan, in the whole discussion in the Brisbane of Sarim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you're going to have many children, you're going to have many descendants, and he says, okay, I believe you. And then he says, and your children are going to inherit the land. And Avram then says, well, how do I know they're going to inherit? How do I know that's going to happen? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's going to be a whole story, they're going to be strangers in a strange land, and they'll be enslaved for a long time. So it's a little bit hard to understand the conversation. Why is it that Avram believes the first part? And what does the answer have to do specifically with the second part? And the Maharal explains that what was going on is Avram says, yes, I believe you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe you, your Havtachas, I believe you, I'll have descendants, and I'll believe you that they'll have the land. But my question is, what will the Kenyan be? Will it be land that will just be there, so to speak, by Yerusha? Or will they themselves acquire it? Will they themselves go through nisyonos that will make that theirs? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, they'll have experiences in Golis that they'll have to go through, that they'll have to hone their natural personality. And that will be the process through which they'll have a Kenyan, through which Eretz Yisrael will be not only something in their possession, but something that's truly there, something they've made a Kenyan on. And this is an idea we find also not only in the realm of Chesed and other qualities, but it's also very relevant in the realm of Talmud Torah. And Talmud Torah is also an area where it's worth focusing on this Nekuda. There's a time when Talmud Torah sometimes comes easily to us. It's very often placed before us. And sometimes we have to go through much more effort. And we find, in a sense, conflicting attitudes in Chazal. Now, on the one hand, Chazal talk about Tarchavas Hadas. It's an idea that we find some of the Rishonim expanding on, that it's worth having a luxurious setting, that a Talmidei Chachamim benefit from having a lot placed before them, a lot that they can take from. On the other hand, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, and notably drawing from the same phrase, Ashracha v'tov lach, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, that kachi darka shel Torah, the real derech of Torah, is pas b'melech tochal, he should eat only bread with salt, should have a difficult life. So which is it? So again, the Rashiv in a different sikh, the Rashiv Kamri Avni explained, that really this tremendous benefit to the Harchavas Hadas, this tremendous benefit to all the luxuries and to all the opportunities that a Talmud Chacham can take advantage of. But he's only able to take advantage of that if he's able to stand up to the nisyonos of the time when it's not so easy. So if he's a personality of Pas B'melech Tocha, if he could subsist in theory in a situation where he has to eat bread and water and salt, and he can survive then, so then that personality can come to a situation where he's provided with so much more and can take advantage of everything that has to offer. In that spirit, he noted, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, that every day a bas kol comes out from Shemayim and says the whole world is sustained because of the schus of Chanina Bani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And yet, Chanina Bani, my son Chanina, he could live from one kav chruvim from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. So what's that statement? The statement of irony? Oh, isn't it ironic? The whole world is sustained because of this Talmud Chacham, and he could live on very little. So Rashi said, no, it's not a statement of irony. It's a statement that, why does the whole world exist? Why do all the luxuries of the world present themselves? They present themselves for the Talmud Chacham to take advantage of them, to gain insight and harchavas hadas from everything that's there. But in order to be able to do that, he has to be somebody who can be omeid b'nisayon. So because Chanina b'ni is able to live from week to week on such a little bit, and able to sustain himself with almost nothing, that's why everything else exists, that's why everything else is there for him to take advantage of and to derive strength from, and to derive insight from. It's a very important thought as we are in our environment where we have so much given to us, we have so many opportunities, and at the same time we have many nisyonos, we have many challenges. And it's our responsibility to look to the challenges, to take these circumstances to define ourselves, to create who we want to be, so it's not simply a default position, but it's a part of our personality, it's a part of our reality, so that then we can benefit from all these circumstances have to offer. So one could ask, if that's the case, so then if the nisyonos are so wonderful, so maybe we should seek them out, maybe we should look for nisyonos. And we know that we don't say that, and in fact we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we shouldn't bring us l'idei nisayon. And the truth is, of course, because Nisayon is a time of sakana, and no one would willingly take a sakana. But also, we don't seek out Nisayonos, because that would show a lack of value to the quality being challenged. And that itself is Nisayon. It's Nisayon to realize that we value this quality so much that we don't want to see it challenged, we don't want to see it put at risk. And therefore, we acquire again a kinyan in that quality by valuing it enough that we don't needlessly challenge it, we don't needlessly put it in Nisayon, but yet we recognize when, inevitably, as life does, present Nisayonos in front of us, that we can take this opportunity and that we can grow from it and that we can create ourselves and that we can use it to our advantage. So we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the opportunity of the Nisayonos that he puts before us, and we show our gratitude by taking these Nisayonos to become the most that we can become. Thank you.